Hey you, welcome to Bloom Baby Bloom, a podcast dedicated to holistic living, learning, and healing from an African-centric perspective. I'm your host, Maina Chenzi, a holistic life coach, multi-passionate creative, and your dedicated digital soul sister. Hey you, welcome to another episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. It's me, May. I hope you're well and doing well on this lovely day. So today's episode is on becoming brave enough to live in our truth. And I thought I would just share a few insights I have gained throughout my life that have helped me live a more truthful life to myself and a life more aligned with the person I am. And I guess in a way, when people say be yourself or be true to yourself, it can be an easy thing to say, but we don't always know how to start moving towards that kind of existence. So my hope is with what I share today that you kind of also get an idea of how you can apply some of those things in your own life, or maybe to make you realize some of the things that you have done that have gotten you to a place of living in more alignment with yourself. I hope it's of benefit. So first of all, it would be important, of course, to ask, what is bravery? What does it mean to become brave enough to live in your own truth? And I think for me, bravery has evolved over time as you get more mature and more experienced. I think when we were younger, we thought that bravery was having no fear and being able to do anything without thinking about the consequences or the fear of the consequences. But that kind of, in a way, is more recklessness rather than bravery by itself. I think where I am now in life, bravery is a matter of standing for something despite feared consequences of doing so, and daring to live as yourself in relations with ourselves, and also being able to be vulnerable. I think bravery doesn't necessarily mean the lack of fear or the absence of fear, so to say, but more that you are more aligned with the consequences of even not living according to your truth and according for the things that you do stand for, and what feels like an existence that is more filled with integrity for yourself. And I can see that within my own life, that the things I've done where maybe I've needed to be more brave, it wasn't because I wasn't afraid, it wasn't because I didn't consider how things could actually turn out in a bad way if I did that or went there or was with that person. But it was more from a place of, but what do I believe in? What is important for me? And is what is important for me is on the other side of this shaky bridge, I'm willing to cross it because that is more important than the fears of what could happen, what could go wrong. Now again, this is also mostly the bravery in living according to our own truth. And I think that one of the most heartbreaking things for myself is the idea of living a life that might please others, but I know I'm betraying myself. I feel that so intensely in my body, the feeling of not respecting, for example, my own boundaries, or speaking up for what I believe in, or supporting or living in a way that is aligned with the things I have chosen to be my values over the years. And that icky existence within myself is for me so much more worse than doing things just for the sake of getting perhaps approval or being accepted in certain groups. And obviously for everybody it's different, because I also understand that also has to do a lot with some sort of upbringing. And I know I talked about this before, but this is also very important for me when it comes to this, that I think being raised as religious, and not conventionally religious, but we were Seventh-day Adventists, right? So even with fellow Christian people, we always had to explain what it meant. Why did we go to church on Saturday? Why weren't we able to go shopping on Saturdays? Why didn't we eat meat? No, why didn't we eat pork? We ate meat, but not pork. Were we Muslims? Were we Jewish? Like, you were a bit off, and you would have to explain yourself. You'd have to explain your values and why those things were important to you. And so, in a way, from an early age, I got to get more comfortable standing out and not fitting in entirely, and being grounded in the things that were true to me and true to my beliefs, regardless of what others thought or what others did. And I wouldn't say that the religion itself did that. I think it was also a part of upbringing, because I used to go to a boarding school where everybody else was also Adventist, or the majority, and that wasn't always the case. Like, other people were more willing to conform in certain ways, or not really be bothered if they were doing things that went against their belief. And I think it matters a lot more depending on what you think is really important to you, because maybe some of my other fellow classmates were religious mostly because of their parents, or maybe it was just more of a traditionally religious and not really connected to their beliefs, or maybe they didn't think those things were that important for them to stay grounded in, or being accepted was more important than those things. So just to say that we all come from different backgrounds, and it can be different what grounds us and what makes us feel like we are being true to ourselves. But at the end of the day, I do know and I do recognize that my upbringing did help me in a way to feel comfortable not falling in line or having to conform to certain things, because our belief already made us a bit of outsiders, and I didn't feel like I was missing out on a lot because I really truly did believe in the values that I grew up having. And even as somebody now who is not religious, that's still something I really value, growing up like that, that it did give me a sense of center and a feeling of I don't need to conform, or I don't need to betray my beliefs or values just to fit in with people. And it's okay if I say something, or I can't do something, or I don't want to participate in something, and maybe people think it's weird, but that's all right, because the truth is that I can go to bed every night being like, I'm good, because I'm doing the things that are valuable and meaningful to me. And so I think practicing that can be a bit hard if you have already and always fitted in. If you've always been somebody who didn't stand out much, that can be even more challenging. But then realizing that at the end of the day, regardless how much you fit in, how much of an outsider you might be, it's you, yourself, and you. Like, you are the person laying in bed and having to deal with the emotions, having to deal with the guilt or the pride or shame or anything you might collect through the day, according to how aligned you are with your inner self and the actions and the way you treat people and the way, whatever it might be, the way that you are true to yourself, right? So realizing that, I think regardless of how much you grew up fitting in or not, you realize that at the end of the day, I really have to be good with myself. I need to be able to feel like I am aligned with my own soul, because if I'm not, it doesn't matter how much I fit in, I'll always feel like an outsider, even to myself. And really, that is the worst feeling of them all, to feel like you are not on your own side, to feel like you cannot trust yourself with yourself, to feel like you are a fraud even to yourself. But if you feel aligned with yourself, if you feel like the things you do, the way you act and show up in life is more or less aligned with your inner world. And of course, even in that, we all make mistakes. There's still parts in my own life that I'm trying to feel more aligned with. But I would say that I am much more aligned than I would say maybe 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. And I know that that's the way it's going to continue advancing. And so it's a process, it's a journey like everything else. But to have that feeling that I am true to me. I am doing my best to live according to my dreams, to my wishes, to my abilities, to the respect and softness I need to exist. It makes you feel lighter. It makes you move through life lighter. And it makes you also take life in a different way, because at the end of the day, if you make the choice that is most aligned and most true to you, then it doesn't matter if it works out, if it doesn't, because you know that you did it on a foundation that was good for you, that was a self-confidence building practice for yourself. Then say, for example, you choose a career, you choose a lifestyle, you choose a partner, you choose a way to dress, you choose a way to speak that is just in hopes of maybe pleasing other people or impressing other people. When that rejection comes or that failure comes, not only do you lose what you were trying to grab on, but you have no home to go to in yourself where you will be confident that at least we were true to ourselves, you know? Then the only thing you have within you is kind of like the shame that you betrayed yourself, and then on top of that you failed. But when you fail doing what is true to you, you have that grounding that that's okay. We believed in ourselves, we took a chance, now let's see what else we can do. Your home is always safe and supportive and in alignment with yourself. So even rejection or failure, it doesn't affect you the same way, but at the same time, even the great accomplishments you might make or you might experience, they are even much sweeter because you got to do them being true to yourself. And how confirming is that? For example, if you're going to apply for a job and you decide to show up as yourself, and if you get it, you are like, wow, I actually got this position being myself and I don't have to pretend I'm anybody else. And the same goes for relationships. If you do get a partner or partners, whatever you are into, and you got them by being true to yourself and they were aligned with the trueness of yourself, the authentic you, what a relief that is, what a sigh of relief that is. You can actually be in those spaces fully and truly because you didn't have to pretend to be someone else, you know? And in a way, like, we can also relate to that when we date other people, that we're pretending to be someone else or that we're doing things that were not really necessarily true to them, but they were doing it in effort to impress us or to make us think that they were aligned with us. When you discover that that's not actually the case, the betrayal you feel and the letdown you feel, because you're like, who are you even? Like, what do you even stand for? What are you really about in life, right? And the same goes for jobs and whatever else might be, like even if you buy a car or a house and somebody deceives you. So in a way, basically, when we're not true to ourselves, we are deceiving not only ourselves but others. And some people have this idea that I don't want to be my true self because I want people to not take advantage of me, and I need them to see a certain part of me so that they never really get close enough to take advantage of me, and that's how I basically protect myself. And I know a lot of times when people think like that, it's from a place of having experienced bad things and maybe having had been vulnerable, seeing other people being vulnerable and being taken advantage of. But I feel like at the end of the day, if we are constantly contouring ourselves to the unsafeness of the world or other people, then we actually never get to enjoy the beauty and the safeness and the vulnerable spaces and comforting spaces we can create when we meet each other with open hearts. It kind of also goes back to another subject I like to talk about in another episode, about even when you do love somebody and you're your truest self and you give the best of yourself, but then the relationship doesn't work or the other person wasn't being as truthful, as honest with who they were and what they were, what was important to them, you might find yourself, okay, well, you know what, next time I'm going to play a bit more, I'm going to, you know, hide a bit more of myself. But then I'm like, well, you had a bad experience, and what you're taking from that is that you are wrong, and now you need to take on the very same traits that kind of caused you harm, because now you need to protect yourself, right? Rather than thinking, wow, that person now has shown me who they are, and that really did hurt because I did really try to be my most authentic self, and this relationship didn't work out. But you know what? I'm going to still believe in what I want to create, which is a transparent, authentic, true connection, and I can't meet somebody there if now I'm building up walls, if now I'm trying to be someone else than who I truly am. So then by being brave enough, even through heartbreak, to believe in love and show up lovingly with an open heart, it gives you a better chance of actually meeting people that are going to be in tune and aligned with that kind of person. And it doesn't mean you don't learn from the bad things that have happened to you or might even make you disappointed in love, but you take those lessons and you add them to your toolbox, but you don't let them define the person you're going to become. You let them be informants, you let them be knowledge that's going to help you tread differently in your next relationship, but not become someone different, at least not in a way that actually makes you more closed off or makes you less trusting or less loving. Because then what's the point of getting back into the field if you're going to try and start expecting less and less from yourself and others, right? Okay, so now that we've also talked a bit about what is bravery, I think we could also reflect a bit on what fear is. And I sat a bit with this, and of course there is the fear, the natural fear that is ingrained within us, like the fear of dying or being harmed. And then there is also all these other social fears, like the biggest one being the fear of being rejected and not having community or not being lovable. And those are also things that might be blockers in our efforts to live our truest selves. And what I like to always remember is there is no family, there is no community, there is no country, there is no nation, there is no culture without people. And people are not a unison, it's a collection of the individuals and the cultures that people, governments, or communities, or families follow are all based on individuals and how they integrate themselves within what the concept of family or the concept of community or what have you. So in some way, the individuals are quite an important part of what makes a family, what makes a community, what makes a nation. And therefore, it's the trueness of those individuals, the kindness, the openness, the authenticness, the bravery, the vulnerability of those people that shape what kind of culture they're going to live in, what kind of family, what kind of partnership you're going to live in. And so it's almost a responsibility for each individual to add to the group, to add to the family, not in a way that you're just born and you assimilate, but in a way that you're born and you bring value. And sometimes that value can only come to the family or to the partnership if you are in tune with yourself and what you can bring to any interaction, to any partnership or relationship. Because if you're there just to be another copy of everybody else, then why be born? Why be you? Why have your own unique brain and thinking pattern? Why not just copy paste everything your parents or your community or religion and just repeat that? So for me, knowing nature, which is always my greatest counselor, and seeing how it celebrates the unification of everything and the coexistence of everything, but it does so through also celebrating the individual expressions of all creation. Like even if you look at snowflakes, if you look at plants, everything is so different, and it's the diversity of those things that creates a healthy ecosystem. And even when we go as far as looking at when does an ecosystem thrive the most, we know it's because of the biodiversity. And once through, for example, colonialism and agriculture, really westernized agriculture that mostly focused on monocultures, when you make things the same or make them act the same way, you kind of kill the biodiversity and the health of that ground or that land or that country, so or that forest. So having biodiversity kind of strengthens the health of the forest, of the land, and so on. So remembering that as an individual, that you are part of the health of the community, and so your uniqueness is actually needed in order for you to produce or be part of creating a community, a family relationship that is going to thrive. And your uniqueness, it comes from you being grounded within yourself and you knowing yourself and you knowing your strength and knowing what your gifts are, knowing the things you love and enjoy and how they can contribute as services to your community, to your loved ones, and to your country, whatever, however, your company. So remembering that for me always encourages me to counterfeit the fear I might feel of not fitting in or not maybe being rejected or my ideas being too radical or too weird or too flimsy. I always remember the thing I can do the best is being myself and showing up as myself, as my best self, my favorite self, my most kind and compassionate self, my grounded self, my most aligned self, and that alone will do what it needs to do for the rest of the community and the forest of existence of life, right? So reminding myself of that kind of helps me balance out the fear I might have that might want me to fit in and to conform in a way that isn't true to myself. And this, of course, doesn't mean that you're going to be like a rebel just for the sake of being a rebel or being disagreeing with people just for the sake of that. I think, of course, that might be a transition. Like if you've been a very big people pleaser and denying yourself of who you are, you might need to practice those muscles within yourself, saying no, not doing things the way people want them to be done, dressing very radically different, just to get connected to your individual self. But as you find more balance within yourself, as you find more of a bridge between yourself, the individual, and the communities or partnerships or companies you exist in, you kind of then find a way to balance that within yourself too, and to be able to stay true to yourself while also being pro-community, because I am definitely pro-community. I'm pro people being there for each other and existing in a way that respects everybody's choices and as long as they're not harming anybody else. But I know that those things can only be upheld if we also respect the individual and also respect the community that the individuals exist within. So that for me is what balances out the fear and you connecting to something within yourself that is bigger than the need to fit in or the need to fear being rejected. And also realizing that rejection in a way is a big part of life, in the sense that we're not always going to be welcomed everywhere, we're not always going to be loved by everyone, at least not even always in the same way that we would like to be loved. But that's perfectly fine, because you're not supposed to be everywhere, right? A polar bear is not supposed to be in the Sahara Desert. A beautiful parrot in the Amazons is not going to thrive somewhere like Denmark that is cold and the temperature is not as reliable. So basically what I'm trying to say, like nature, through creating these boundaries and these environments, also helps let the beings, whether it's animals or plants, know where they belong and where they add the most value to. And so being rejected either by people, by positions, by community is not necessarily always a bad thing. And getting comfortable with the idea of rejection as redirection kind of helps you not see it as a threat of your safety and existence, but again, as I implied in the word, a redirection to somewhere else that you will find more belonging, you'll find more alignment. And the same goes like in relationship as well. If you're your truer self and somebody doesn't want to be with you, or you don't want to be with someone once you see their truer self, it's kind of quite important that you respect that realization, because they might find other people who want to be with them exactly the way they are, and you too might find people who want to be with you as you are. And if you deny yourself or your partner that by pretending or fearing being your truer self, how are you guys going to be truly happy, right? And it's not fair neither to yourself or to the other person, and it will also creep through in different ways. So just to say that there is more reasons why you should be able to dare to be yourself despite the fears and consequences of that in certain situations. Obviously, I guess the next thing to explore would be asking, but who are you really? Because if you're going to be true to yourself, how do you even know who your truer self is? And I really think this comes from experience. You're gonna have to live life. You're gonna have to try out some things. I remember yesterday reading a quote that say that the biggest, I don't know if it was a quote or video, you know, but one of those two things that say the biggest mistake you can make is not making any mistakes or being afraid of making any mistakes. And I really, really believe in that. Again, I'm not saying go out there and be reckless, but take a chance on you, take a chance on your dreams, on your aspirations and your desires, and be aware and mindful of the results of those actions and those experiences, and change or adapt according to what you realize after you've dared to do something, you've taken a chance on yourself, you've dared to be wrong or make a mistake. Because when it comes back to me, like, that's the way I've learned a lot of things. There's some certain things I knew from an early age and I was grounded in, but then there are other things I've had to practice experiencing through wrongs and mistakes to be like, oh, I really do prefer that, or I never want to experience that again, or this feels more like me, this does not feel like me at all, this feels more aligned, this I'm more curious about. You won't get to know yourself if you don't put yourself in situations that challenge you, that let you know aspects of yourself that might not always be visible to you in certain areas if you stay in your comfort zone. I think also, like I mentioned in my last episode, traveling as a form of self-discovery and healing, that even putting yourself in new situations away from the environment you grew up in, just so you can see yourself out of that context. It doesn't mean that you let go of everything you grew up believing in, or the traditions, or the ways of being, but you get a more understanding of what you do, the things you do, and why they make sense for you to continue doing them that way. Or you might also learn that this actually feels more like me, this actually feels more like my truer self, this feels more authentic to my spirit and the person I am. And therefore, I'm going to change that and I'm going to live more like that. So basically, you get to learn who you are by spending time with yourself, by trying out new things, by learning about new people, new places, by interacting with other people that are a bit outside of your zone and staying open-minded to the way they think, what they do. It doesn't mean you're going to do it, but being able to say, oh, that's why that makes sense for them. So how do I feel about it? Why do I choose to do the things I do the way I do them? And I feel when you do that enough times, you kind of get to navigate the world from a place of alignment much more, because you just know that that doesn't feel good to my spirit or to my psyche or to my emotions or to my mind or even to my eyes or to my taste buds. And therefore, I'm going to pivot and go somewhere else and be somewhere else or live in a different way that is more authentic and true to myself. So how do you learn about who you are? You kind of date yourself. You spend time with yourself. You pay attention to yourself. And you then make decisions based on the outcomes of those experiences. Now, the next question could be, okay, but why dare to do so anyway? Why dare to live your truest life? What are the benefits? I've mentioned them a bit, but I think for me, when it comes down to it, why I will always try my best to live to my truest self is, why live at all if you're not gonna live according to your truest self? Like, why not live according to the way of existence that helps you feel the healthiest, the groundedness, the most grounded, the most calm or energetic, whatever your kind of temperament is? Why not live a way that is a true expression of your truest self if you're gonna live anyway? Like, what a pity for us to exist and then never even exist as ourselves. What a pity, because you'll never get to be this unique person that you are with these unique experiences, with the unique family dynamic you have, or the friends, or the experiences you've had through relationships, letdowns, heartbreaks, whatever it might be, your hobbies. Why exist if you're not gonna do that existence a true representation of yourself, right? So I would say that is number one for me, is the fact that at the end of the day, we all die. And when I die, I would just really like to be like, I did that my way. I really showed up. I feel like the people who loved me and got to know me really got to know me. They knew me. They saw me. I got to play the role of me the best of my ability because I was myself. And what I got, what I lost, what I accomplished, what I failed at, I got to do all of those things as myself. And what an honor, what a beautiful thing, you know, to love and to exist so whole and so fully. So that for me is also quite important. And another thing is also the liberation you get from living in your truth and how that inspires other people to also live and connect to their own truth. I am always touched when through sharing things that are really vulnerable for me or really exposing of myself or even my weaknesses, and then people turn around and tell me that because I did that, they either feel less alone, or because I did that, they also want to live more aligned with themselves and maybe even question things that they took for granted or things they'd never really thought they could even question. When you get to be true to yourself, you are adding to the community you exist in by inviting other people to also dare be true to themselves and live more in alignment with themselves. So that's also a rewarding thing, that because you dare to be yourself and be true to yourself and as authentic and vulnerable as you can be in that experience and expression, you are inviting other people to feel safe doing the same. And how nice and lovely is that? So that's definitely another reason why you should dare to live your truer self as your truer self. And the final thing is just the fact that in my own experience, and I'm sure this is true for many other people, when you're doing things that are aligned with yourself, when you, for example, when I do the things that are true to my nature, when I'm having sessions with people, when I'm drawing, when I'm creating, when I'm thinking up ideas, when I'm having great conversations and questioning things, when I'm part of a community that, for example, puts on exhibitions in efforts to bring about understanding and healing, when I do things that are really true to my essence, even though they might take a long time, a lot of energy, it's like I am multiplying my own energy, multiplying my own confidence, multiplying my own capacity to think of even more ideas and more ways to do those things. It's like I am thriving, literally, like I'm multiplying my existence, my energy, my life force, because I am in alignment with myself. And that for me is such a great metaphor for even nature, when it's in alignment, when the soil is good, the weather is good, and the caring of it is good, the stewardship is good. It multiplies whatever you give it. It multiplies the little seed to a whole tree with lots of fruits. It multiplies the greens into little ones, into nourishing food. When you live in alignment, you are then able to multiply your existence, because that's the true nature of all living things, is that when you are in alignment with your true essence, you get to multiply, you get to live in a way of abundance. And when I am true to myself, I feel abundant in energy, in ideas, in purpose. And I feel like abundance also comes to my way easily. And the effort I need to keep putting in is not as tiresome, because it comes from a true, never-ending well of authenticity and abundance. I don't know, I just feel like authenticity and abundance go together, because there's nothing worse than, say, doing a job or being in a relationship or being around people that make you feel like you need to abandon yourself or make you feel like tired or make you feel drained or make you feel just out of alignment with yourself. You have all experienced those moments, and the way they drain you, the way they take from you, right? Like it's the opposite of the other way, that by being yourself, you multiply your existence, and by not being true to yourself, you steal from your existence. I see people who do jobs that are not necessarily true to their soul, but they're trying to live up to an idea of who they should be and maybe the kind of money they should have or the kind of lifestyle that others would praise and look up to. And you see it in their bodies, and you see them in their eyes, in their energy, and even the other stuff they do to compensate for the fact that they are betraying themselves. They are stealing from their life forces. They're stealing from themselves, and in return they steal from others, because they're not repulsing themselves by being in alignment with their truest self. And so that is the biggest reason why you should fight and work to be your truest self and to live in alignment with yourself, because you get to be something that gives to life, because you're giving yourself life. And whenever you are part of something, whatever you work on is going to be abundant in the way it shows up, in the quality, in the atmosphere of it, in the presence of it, because you did it from a place of abundance and not scarcity. So ironically enough, like, that is the two dualities that we tap into when we choose to be ourselves or betray ourselves for someone else, or not put in the effort and time to understand ourselves so we can live in alignment with ourselves. We end up stealing from ourselves, and then we steal from the relationships we are in. We even steal from the jobs we might be hired to do, because we're not really in it, we're not really truly there, or we are motivated from a place of fear and scarcity, and that's gonna maybe fuel us to some degree, but it's never going to be from an abundant source, you know. So in that sense, we do not only ourselves a favor, but the relationships and the communities, the countries, the basically whatever ecosystem we get to be a part of, by coming there doing what we are supposed to do. Like, you expect a bean to be a bean. You expect a sunflower to be a sunflower, and you expect a rose to be a rose. If you come as yourself, if I come as May, and I'm always as true to myself as possible, I know that's the best thing I can add to any space I'm in, by being in alignment with myself, being responsible and accountable for myself, and showing and sharing that with the people I'm with the community I am a part of, with the company I might work for, or with the projects I work on, the clients I work with. It always brings fruit when you plant yourself as your truest self, right? So to end, I thought I would share a few places or videos that I hope could bring you some inspiration as well. I have some movies to start off with. Like, these are some of my favorite movies, and I hope that they inspire you as well to live a life that is more true to yourself. I could go in depth in why specifically, but for now I am going to just give you the titles. Maybe I can make a blog post about them. Okay, so the first one is Waiting to Excel. It's a classic, like, American movie. Just look for them. Like, you will see which one you connect the most to. I think I'd go in depth, as I said, somewhere else. Oh, Their Eyes Were Watching God. I love that movie. I love the development of the main character. And a very classic one that the first time I saw it, I'm just like, this person is very important to my soul. The Story of Frida Kahlo. There is a movie, there is books, there is a lot of things you can read on this amazing Mexican artist. Then there is No Man's Land. It's a movie I recently watched with my partner while we were in France, and I really loved it. Just, it's the idea of living a life that is true to yourself in so many ways, regardless of the outside world. There is also the one and only The Color Purple. It's such a beautiful and important movie for me and the people I love, my siblings. We watched it together the first time, and it just stuck into our head. This was also before we even knew of black cinema, being black African girls who grew up in Denmark, and where most of our content and media was white stories. So watching a movie such as The Color Purple had a great, great, great effect on all of us. So that for sure. There's also a few platforms I think could be inspiring. For example, on YouTube, there's two channels I would really recommend. The first one is The Green Renaissance, which just features a lot of stories from different people and how they see life, but it's from a very authentic and a very grounded, very calming way of creating content and sharing stories, I would definitely recommend it. And another one is Style IQ. It's a YouTube channel managed, I don't know if it was a blog first, by a mother and daughter duo. And they mostly interview women, but I think they also interview men here and there, or non-binary people. And the idea is just people coming to be interviewed, and they get undressed and they talk about themselves, their growth, their healing. It's just really great content, and it always makes me reflect a bit more on myself or people I know. Just being aware of so many beautiful stories in existence, it kind of makes you go back within yourself and be like, oh, there's so many ways to exist and so many people you could be. Why not actually be yourself and trust your own path and journey? So for sure, those are a few I would recommend. There's probably a lot. If you have any, do share podcast or I don't know, platforms or movies. I think also with podcasts, I would recommend On Being, or another one I really used to love is called Strangers. I will try to leave some of these in the description box, but there is so many things that can help you tap into authenticity and vulnerability and existing in alignment with yourself, even if it's by watching other people be true to themselves, and maybe that inspires you as well to be more true to yourself. Either way, I just truly hope that this episode at least gets you interested and curious in reflecting on those things of being true to yourself and living in alignment. And maybe you discover you're good and you really feel connected to the person you are by yourself and with others. Or maybe you realize that if you're on the journey, it makes sense. And of course, because we are raised in a society that makes us think that there's so many other people we should be than ourselves, but at the end of the day, we all can only benefit from the whole through our own biodiversity, and we can't have biodiversity without being true to ourselves. And so basically, that's what I want to leave you with. This is the last time, it's just you and me in your ear, but I am so excited for the next season. My hope is to bring even more interesting subjects and go even deeper and really get to the bigger subjects as well. I don't know, like, I feel like as I am becoming more and more of a grown woman, there's things I feel even more braver to talk about, even more braver to put out there. So that's going to be my challenge for the next seasons, is to have the big conversations. And yeah, I look forward to that. But before we end this season, the next one will be featuring a very, very awesome person who I met through Instagram. And she shares a lot about living mindfully and creating slow businesses and living and working from an authentic and aligned space. So I really hope that you will enjoy that next episode. Otherwise, I am going to obviously see you in our next seasons. Do take care, enjoy the rest of the summer, and I send you lots of love and big hugs wherever you might be. Bye. I hope you have enjoyed this episode on Bloom Baby Bloom. If you have any questions or comments or just little highs, please feel free to reach out here or on our website at bloombabybloom.com. Otherwise, as always, I send you love, courage, and light to guide you on your path to your truest and most abundant self. You are so very worthy. See you next time. With love, May.